Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You'll start reading with the 12th verse. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And as we pray over the message this morning, we have a couple of prayer requests that were given to me. Joe Bernardi, Christy Hagen's father, I don't know if you heard a couple weeks ago, he was involved in that scooter accident. And because of that and the running tests for him, they found that he has lung cancer. And so let's just pray for him. And then also, I guess Shiloh had her wisdom teeth pulled and a lot of pain there. So let's pray for her. And we do have prayer meeting today as well. So if anybody has any requests, you can give those to me after the service and we'll remember those this afternoon. Father, we are grateful that we can call you Father. We are thankful that we can come to you in our time of need. Lord, bearing our souls and our petitions to you. Lord, and we know that all things work together for good, and sometimes we don't understand the things that happen. And Lord, I'm thinking about Joe as he had this accident. And then, Lord, maybe it was good because now they found out that he has cancer. And Lord, we pray that they have caught it at an early stage. And we ask, Lord, that you would work divinely in his body to touch him and bring health and wholeness and healing to him. Be with him as he faces surgery. Lord, guide the doctors that they could do the best that they can. And Lord, even beyond what they can do, beyond their ability, Lord, that you would work supernaturally. We pray for Shiloh and the pain that she has. Lord, we ask that you would just bring healing to her mouth today. Lord, that you would touch her. There's nothing too hard or too small for you. And Lord, even when we think of teeth, little parts of the body, and yet they can cause tremendous pain and discomfort, we ask, Lord, that you would heal her. And any other requests today, Lord, we offer them up to you today, knowing that you know all things, and you are our intercessor, and you ever live to make intercession for your saints. We thank you. We commit these things to your care. We ask your blessing upon this word this morning now, Lord. May it challenge us to run the race of life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to give you some running tips for winning the marathon of life. Paul compares the Christian life to a marathon of sorts. There are several principles that apply to both running a foot race and living in ways that please the Lord. If you're familiar with the writings of Paul, you know that he must have loved sports because he uses athletics as a theme repeatedly as he describes different aspects of the Christian life. In fact, some commentators think that Paul, a tent maker by trade, may have been one of the vendors who made tents or awnings for use at the Corinthian World Games. They also believe that Paul's presence at those Olympic-type events originally led him to see the Christian life in the view of athletics. And of course, we know that this week starts the Olympics. And so I thought I'd talk about that Olympic theme today and again give you some tips for running the race, the marathon race of life, because life is not just a short sprint, it's a marathon. We don't need just a good start, we need a good finish as well. And so these tips are things that you can use throughout life to help you run the race strong to the end. Now, there are a lot of verses that we could look at where Paul compares athletics to living the Christian life. But I just want to point out this morning that the end goal of that is to become like Christ. That is the ultimate goal in running the race of life. We are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the goal for any Christian should be to grow in the likeness of Christ. And so Paul says, even earlier in this chapter, that my desire is that I might know Him, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. He said, I have set my heart to do this, to know Christ and Him crucified. And he says, I'm convinced that all things work together for good in my life. Why? To conform me into the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is Paul's goal. It should be the goal for any Christian that we become more and more like Jesus. And in these verses, Paul gives us some tips on how to do that. The first tip is this. First running principle is that you have to commit to never quit training. Never quit training. In other words, we should never stop growing spiritually. None of us will ever get to the point where we have arrived, that we have apprehended. We should never stop trying to become more and more like Jesus in our thoughts and actions. I read about a young man who, after his college graduation ceremony, waved his diploma in the air and said, "It's time to stop learning and start living." Boy, was he mistaken. Because you never stop learning, do you? You never stop learning in life. Learning doesn't end simply because you get a degree. And if you are a professional in any line of work, you have to keep up with the latest techniques and the latest knowledge. You never stop learning. The farther we go in the Christian life, the more we see that there is yet ground to be conquered, that there is still more to attain. A little boy once came up to former President Herbert Hoover just after he had left office and asked for his autograph. When Hoover complied, the boy said, "Would you mind signing it again further down?" "All right," the president said, "but why twice?" "Because," the bright young businessman said, "with two of yours, I can get one of Babe Ruth's." President Hoover said, "I learned from that experience that I need to stay humble. And no matter what we attain to in life, we will never reach spiritual perfection this side of heaven, but we should strive for it. And one of the ways that we strive for it is to keep humble. Because what does God promise to give to those who are humble? Grace. He promises to give grace to those that are humble. Grace is what we need to become more like Christ. The second tip that I'd like to offer you this morning, that actually Paul offered in this passage, is that we must commit to never look back. We must commit to never look back. Now, there's always the temptation to look back. One of the things that we are tempted to look back at is the accomplishments of the past. To look back at the accomplishments of the past. Milestones in some people's lives, as wonderful as they are, in essence have become tombstones because they have never grown past that point. If you are continually looking back to something that happened and your gaze keeps going back there, you know, that is where you want to live. You're happy, you're satisfied with that. And Paul says, I don't want you to be looking back like that and just stay there. I want you to press forward because there are new heights to be gained. There are new challenges. There are new lands to be conquered. There are more miles to run. And so simply don't look back. You know, Paul had plenty of spiritual mountaintop experiences, and he could have retreated to those anytime he wanted. But he said, I'm forgetting the good things of the past so that I can reach out for the better things that are ahead. You know, there were good things in the past, but I want you to know that there are better things that lie ahead. And if you can't let go of the good things, you'll never reach the better things and the best things. Somebody has said that the enemy of the best is the good. Because we're tempted to be satisfied with those things that are good, we need to keep striving because there are better things out there. And so some people live in the past. They live with their past accomplishments. Other people don't progress in the Christian life because they live in the past. They live in the past of hurts. Their minds can't seem to be released from past hurts of life. And you know what? No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it'll never get any better. It'll never happen. Paul could have dwelt on his hurts. He had people do great damage to him. He had lots of hurts in his life. He was stoned. He was left for dead. People mistreated him. There was open hostility all around him. But he refused to look back and dwell on the unfairnesses of life. And then there are some that are so conscious of past sins and burdened by guilt that they are totally useless in the present. So some are stuck on past accomplishments. Some are stuck on past hurts. And others are stuck in past sins, seemingly unable to get past the guilt. But if anybody could have had guilt, I would think Paul could have been one of them. Because Paul persecuted Christians. He tracked them down. He was responsible for their death even. He had said, I had done much damage to the cause of Christ. But then he came to a choice in his life, either to dwell on his mistakes or accept God's forgiveness and learn from those experiences, and by God's forgiveness and by God's grace, move on. That's what Paul chose to do. He decided to not look back. During the 1984 Los Angeles Olympic Games, the favorite to win the 110-meter hurdle, high hurdle, was an American named Greg Foster. He had some pre-race fame, and ABC did one of those biographies before the event on him. Well, on the day of the race, the gun went off, and the runners charged toward the hurdles. Even though Foster was obviously nervous, he was in the lead, and he kept the lead. But just as he vaulted over the very last hurdle, he turned his head ever so slightly to see where everybody else was. And that was a big mistake. Because that small move of looking back cost him just a few hundredths of a second. But it was enough to lose the race to another American, Tom Jefferson. Listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, and I think that you do, but if you want to experience greatness in the kingdom of God, you can't look back either at the successes and dwell there. You can't look back on the failures and the disappointments either, because either one of those things could either slow or stop your progress altogether. Third tip that I'd like to offer you this morning is that we should train only with winners or champions. We should train only with those who are winners themselves and champions. We see as Paul talks about following me as I follow Christ. And he says, mark those people that can be examples of yours and follow them. In all those weeks of watching the first century version of ESPN, these Olympic Games at Corinth, Paul saw that if he wanted to be a good runner, it would help that if he ran and trained with others who knew what it took to win, who knew how to perform their event to the highest ability. In this way, he could learn from their experiences and he could learn from their successes. And Paul says the same thing applies in the Christian life. To be a growing Christian and to be a mature believer, you and I need to hang around other Christians who are growing and maturing in their walk with the Lord. We need to have some good examples, and we need to follow those examples. And Paul said, not in a bragging way, but he said, I am an example of that. Follow me as I follow Christ. Research has shown that the quickest way to perform proficiency in any endeavor is to learn from somebody who has already mastered that skill. When Don Shula first began coaching the Miami Dolphins, he showed them films of then the National League champion Baltimore Colts. The Dolphin players watched the Colts practice their and execute their plays with perfection. They saw how the Colts encouraged each other after every play. You know, if one fell down, they would help the other one out. They'd pat each other on the backside, saying, good job, encouraging one another. Shula then challenged the Dolphins to imitate the Colts both during the play and after the whistle was blown. He said, that's the way to become a champion. If you want to become champions yourself, you watch a champion and you see how the champion performs and how the champion acts and how they handle themselves, and you follow their example. I'm not sure if I like the word imitate, because imitate, you can imitate something and not be real and genuine. But we are to be followers of Paul as he followed Christ, and we are to be followers of other believers who are growing and maturing in the Christian life and are using their talents and using their abilities, and we see them and we want to copy them and we want to be like them, because that's how we learn. That's how we can be proficient as well. Now, in verses 18 and 19, Paul does warn us to be careful that there's a world full of people who are opposed to his kingdom. And as a Christian, if you want to understand more and more about the kingdom of God, then get to know and train those who are obviously growing themselves, but watch those who aren't. Be careful that the world doesn't conform you into its mold. Because if you run with them, you will not excel. If you run with them, you will not run the Christian life successfully. You know, when I played basketball, when I was like a freshman, our coach would schedule us against teams that were full of seniors. And I would complain, you know, why do you schedule these tough guys, these tough teams? And he said, because if you ever want to get better, you have to play people better than yourself. And we saw that come to fruition when we became seniors ourselves. But I don't think we would have arrived at that level had we not learned to play against players who were better than us. You know, you might have heard the statement, you play to the ability of your opponent. And for that is true to a large extent. So, but if we want to grow in the Christian life, we are going to have to find people who could mentor us and challenge us in our Christian life. People who are growing themselves. And then the fourth running tip that Paul gives here is to remember whose team we are on. Now, that might seem silly in an athletic event, but sometimes we tend to get turned around and we stop following Christ and we start following people. And Paul warns us here, you know, you follow people, but you follow them to a certain extent. We must not forget that we are on heaven's team, and that is where our citizenship lies. You know how easy it is to get turned around sometimes in the Christian life. Let me give you an illustration from basketball again. We were playing a team and we had a jump ball. And I was the one that was doing the jump ball, and we were right down at the opponent's basket, you know, right down there by their free throw lane. And so the ball went up, and I saw that one of my teammates was right behind me, and he didn't have anybody on either side of him. So I thought I could just win this jump and tip the ball back to him. And I did. And he got the ball at about the top of the key there, and he shot at the wrong basket. Swish, 2 points. The only basket he made all night, but it was for the wrong team. Sometimes we get turned around in the Christian life and we do things and we actually score some points for the enemy. So we have to remember whose side we are on and where our goal is. Keeping our eyes, keeping our focus upon Jesus. Now, citizenship is something that the Philippians would have understood because Philippi was a Roman colony. And these Roman colonies were amazing places all over the empire and strategic sites like the intersection of main roads or atop mountain passes along with which an enemy might march. The Romans would set up a little colony there. It was a small Roman city. These colonies were populated by people who were mostly soldiers but had served for like 21 years in the Roman army. They weren't born Roman citizens, but because they served as Roman soldiers, they earned their citizenship. And they would populate these little colonies, these Roman miniature Roman colonies, but they were types of Rome no matter how far away Rome might be. In these colonies, Roman dress was worn. Roman magistrates governed. The Latin tongue was spoken. Roman justice was administered. Roman morals were observed. Even though they weren't in Rome, they still did as the Romans do. So Paul says to the Philippians, just as the Roman colonists never forget that they belong to Rome, you must never forget that you are citizens of heaven and your conduct must match your citizenship. So if we want to make any goal, any progress in our goal of, and progressing to be like Christ, we must never forget that we are children of God. We must never forget that God is our Father and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We must never forget that we are to be the ones that are influencing the world and not letting the world influence us. We are of the world, or we're in this world, but we're not of the world. We are to be influencers in this world for Christ, not vice versa. If anyone belongs to Christ, he marches to a different drum and obeys different orders. Several years ago, a veteran missionary was returning home to the United States, retiring after a life of service across seas. Aboard a ship found for New York Harbor, he met an agnostic who challenged him by pointing out the futility of giving one's life to missionary service. He continued by noting that no one on board ship was paying any attention to the veteran missionary, a sign they apparently considered his efforts pointless. The missionary said, "I'm not home yet." The agnostic assumed the missionary was referring to a large crowd that would meet the ship, and he scoffed again when they disembarked, and not a solitary person welcomed the missionary. Once again, the missionary said, "I'm not home yet." He boarded a train as he made his trek from New York City to his small Midwestern hometown. Reaching his destination, the missionary could no longer fight back the tears as the train pulled off and he stood alone on the railway platform. He had arrived at his hometown, but no one was there to greet him. At this point, God spoke to the faithful missionary and said, "You're still not home yet." And as Christians, we are not home yet. Our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. So I wonder today, how is your race going? Do you need to stop looking back so that you can return to moving forward? Are you training as hard as you can? Or are you simply trusting in the accomplishments and the laurels of the past? Do you have good mentors, other growing Christians that you are watching and learning from? Are you running on the right team? Are you headed in the right direction? I mean, there's all the worldly pleasures of the world influencing you, or are you influencing this world? How is your race going? How's it really going? These are some tips that Paul gives us to run the Christian life. And if we find ourselves this morning in one of these areas well, we can still get back on track. And we can pick up where we left off and continue to run the race successfully. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Gail, maybe we could sing Knowing You. Can you imagine the effect it would have on our communities, in our world, if all us runners would commit to running the race according to these tips? Seeing every moment, every part of our lives, as a part of a race to become more like Jesus. Imagine what would happen if all of us gave our entire lives to God's purposes, to running life's race in such a way as to win this prize. We would say, this one thing I do, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. While you're examining yourself this morning, maybe you feel that you need to make the commitment to run the race with these tips. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself to Jesus as Lord of your life. Perhaps there's somebody here today that's not even in the race. You don't know Jesus. I would encourage you to join us in this race by becoming a Christian this morning, by receiving Christ into your life. It's the most important decision you could ever make. Is there anybody here? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not even in the race. I've not yet received Christ as my Savior. But I'm going to receive Him today, and I'm going to get in the race. I'm going to start running. I'm going to start following Him. Is there anybody? A raised hand. That's all I'm asking you to do right now is just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Christians, would you just commit to the Lord that you will run by these tips? And right now, just rededicate your life to run the race of life with Jesus being Lord. With Jesus being Lord. Father, you know the commitments that are being made today. And you know those that may have gotten off the track. Lord, by your grace, may they rededicate themselves and get back on the track. Maybe there's still those that are on the track, but they're not running the race like they should. One or more of these points that Paul has brought out in this passage, they've been guilty of. Lord, help them to run the race to the best of their ability. Lord, that we would not be satisfied even with the good. We would strive for excellence. We would strive to be the best Christian that we can be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.